Recorder working. We left off on daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on Mem Ches Amud Beis. Last one line is Amar, 5 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously the Zechus Gemar Chasim Atova for all of Klal Yisrael, and I certainly echo those wishes for everybody. So we left off again at Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The first the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about the case we spoke about in the Mishnah, which we really just used as a mashal, but the case was three chatzeros that are adjacent to each other, where the middle chatzer has an eruv chatzeros with each of the extreme chatzeros, but they don't all three join in the same eruv chatzeros. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas amoraim about what the machlokas tanaim is in that case, and then that's going to be the most confusing part of the daf. And then the Gemara is going to discuss two halachos that Shmuel derives from the term eruv. Eruv implies that something is all combined and all mixed together. So there are two halachos that Shmuel is going to derive from that term, and the Gemara is going to ask why he needs both halachos. If one of these halachos is true, then obviously he's taking that term Eruv very seriously, and both of these halachas are going to be true. Then the Gemara is going to have two opinions on the mechanism that makes an Eruv work, and three nafkaminas between those two opinions. Meaning, why is it? How does an Eruv, just because you put a box of matzah somewhere, all of a sudden people are allowed to carry? What exactly is the mechanism that makes the Eruv work? Two shitos, three nafkaminas between the shitas. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah that discusses three topics. The first topic the Mishnah is going to discuss is being Konish Shvisa by declaring a distant location to be your Makom Shvisa. I mean, you're not there, and you can't get there, but you see it, and you say, ah, that place, I want to be my Makom Shvisa. Second topic we're going to discuss in Machlokas, how we measure the Alpayim Amah. Is it a circle or a square around you that's the Alpayim Amah? And the third discussion is going to be a Machlokas, whether the idea of a person being ma'ariv baraglo by going to the place where he wants to be konish visa rather than putting a box of matzahs there, whether that's an idea that is l'chadchila or that's only a bedievit situation, that's something that you only do if a person is an ani. So that's also going to be discussed in the Mishnah. So let's begin again about 5 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on Mem Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Zu Devir Rabbi Shimon Avol Chav Ma'omrim Rishos Achas Mishamesu Shul Shtei Rishuyos Avol Lo Shtei Rishuyos. That which we said back on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis in the Mishnah, when you have three adjacent chatzeros that are each open up into each other and each open up also into Rishos Harabim, that if the outer chatzeros make an Eruv with the inner chatzer, but the outer chatzeros do not make an Eruv with each other, so he muteres imahen vehein imah, that the inner chatzer has an Eruv and can bring things out to the outer chatzeros and they to the inner chatzer as well, but the two extreme chatzeros that comment that the Mishnah said reflects Rabbi Shimon's Shita, but it is not universally agreed upon. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say that the middle Chatzer is mishameshes the two outer chatzeros, meaning the members of the two outer chatzeros are allowed to use the middle chatzer because they made an eruv with the middle chatzer. But so we agree on that point, say the chachamim. But shtei rushios are lo shtei rushios mishamshos rushos achas. The two outer chatzer are not allowed to be something that is used by the inner chatzer, meaning the inner chatzer is not allowed to carry things out into the outer chatzer because the inner chatzer didn't commit. It made two separate Erevin. It made an Erev with this one and that one, so it didn't declare which one is its real Erev. And therefore, it loses on both ends, and it's Asur B'Shtehen. That is the Shita of the Chachamim, the way Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav reports it. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim agree that the outer Chatzeros are allowed to use the inner Chatzer. The point of Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is whether the inner Chatzer is allowed to use the outer Chatzer, that Rabbi Shimon says yes, and the Chacham say no. That's Rav's understanding of the Machlokas. But Ki Amrisa Kamei de Shmuel, when they reported this understanding of the Machlokas to Shmuel, so Amar Li, so Shmuel said, Avzu Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that even Rabbi Shimon, who's Mekel, is Moda, that the middle Chatzer is not allowed to use the outer Chatzeros, meaning there's no one that would allow the inner Chatzer to use the outer Chatzeros, neither of the Tanaim, not Rabbi Shimon, nor the Chachamim. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Shlosh and Asuras, Chacham go even one step more luchumra. The Chacham don't even allow the outer chatzeros to use the inner chatzer. So the Chacham are more and more extreme. So it turns out that you have that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in how to understand this machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is a double machlokas. First of all, they disagree how to understand the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that according to Rav, Rabbi Shimon allows usage in all directions. The middle chatzers use the outer ones use the inner one, and according to Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon is only matir the outer ones to use the inner one, but not the inner one to use the outer ones. And there's also machlokas Rav and Shmuel about the shita of the chachamim, that the way Rav understands the shita of the chachamim do not allow the inner ones to use the outer ones, but they do allow the outer chatzer to use the inner chatzeros, whereas Shmuel holds no, the chachamim allow nothing. They don't allow anybody to use anything. The outer chatzer is not the inner ones, the inner ones not the outer ones. So Tanya Kavasid Rav Yehuda Aliba de Shmuel. So says Gemara, we have a brisa that supports the way Rav Yehuda said according to Shmuel that the din in the Mishnah about three people that are all sleeping on the road when Shabbos starts, and two of them are 8 amos apart from each other, and then there's one guy planted right in between them that's 4 amos from each of them. So we said the halach is that the two outer guys are mutter with the middle guy. They could get together with the middle guy and he with them, but the two outer guys cannot get together with each other. So on that, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Lema Dover Doma, what's a mashal that you can compare that case to? L'shalosh chatzeros ha-psucha zu-lezu, psucha l'rishas rabim. It's just like a case of three chatzeros that open up into each other and also open up into rishas rabim. That irvu shtayim imem tzoyis, if the two outer ones make an eruv chatzeros with the middle one, so zu mevia mitoch besa, then the outer one could bring food from his own house to the middle chatzer va'ocheles and eat it in the inner chatzer, v'zoma v'yamitoch besa va'ocheles, and the other outer chatzer, the other on the other extreme, is allowed to bring food from his house and also bring it to the middle chatzer and eat it there, and zomach zeres mosara l'soch besa, and whatever leftovers he has, he could bring back home into chatzer number one, v'zomach zeres mosara l'soch besa, and the other one, whatever leftovers he has, he could bring back home into chatzer number three. But notice, it doesn't say anything. Rabbi Shimon says nothing about chatzer number two, about the middle chatzer being able to do anything. Just about the fellows in the outer chatzer being allowed to bring things in to the middle chatzer, but nothing about the guys in the middle chatzer being able to bring anything to the outer chatzeros. Aval chachamim omrim, shloshon asuros. Chachamim say we don't allow anything. We don't even allow the guys from the outer chatzer to bring anything to the inner chatzer. So that is a raya to Shmuel's understanding, because Rabbi Shimon apparently, by the virtue of the examples that he gives, apparently only allows the people from the outer chatzer to bring to the inner chatzer, and not vice versa. Otherwise, he would have mentioned something about that. So this is a raya to Shmuel's more strict understanding of the machlokas, where even Rabbi Shimon only allows the outer guys to bring to the inner, and the chacham don't allow anything at all. So the Gemara says, and this, by the way, va'az do Shmuel l'tameh, is Shmuel l'shitaso. Shmuel holds that even Rabbi Shimon would say, ein shtei rishuyos mishamsho, that the guy from the inner chatzer cannot bring anything to the outer chatzer, chatzeros is going l'shitaso. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said in a different context, shebein shnei mavuos, and if you have a chatzer shebein shnei mavuos, and if you have a chatzer that's in between two mavuos, meaning it's on one side the chatzer opens up into one mavui, on the other side the chatzer opens up into another mavui, and those who live in the chatzer, the residents of that chatzer, go through whichever mavui, meaning whichever is more convenient. Sometimes they go out through that street, sometimes they go out through that street. So then, irva im shteyem, if the members of that chatzer made an eruv together with both mavuos together, asura im shteyem, it's not allowed to use either, they're not allowed to use either one of those eruvim, they're not allowed to use either one of those mavuos, because they're not committing, they're pulling themselves to two separate reshuyos, and that's exactly the way Rabbi Shimon is understood, according to Shmuel, by three chatzeros, where the middle one is asur, to use either extreme chatzer, Nezer because it wouldn't commit. It did both. It did an Eruv with each one, and that means that it can't use any of them. So that's Shmuel the Shitaso, because if Shmuel would have held like Rav, that Rabbi Shimon is Matir, then Shmuel would have paskined like Rabbi Shimon, because Allah Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv. By virtue of the fact that Shmuel says that when you have a Chatzer that opens up to two Mavuos, that we need to be Machmir on the Bnei Chatzer not to carry anything out, it must mean that there is no Shita that's Mekel. That even Rabbi Shimon, even the Tanna Rabbi Shimon is Machmir, because had there been a Shita that was Mekel, he would have paskined that way. Allah Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv. So it must be that that's a Raya that Shmuel understands that even Rabbi Shimon is not so permissive. Even Rabbi Shimon only allows the outer chatzeros to use the inner one, but not the inner chatzer to use the outer chatzeros. So then the Gemara tells us that other dinim that Shmuel said about a chatzer that's between two mavuos. Once we're on the topic of that case where you have a chatzer that opens up into two mavuos, we just elaborate a little further on that. Lo irva im shneihem. Let's say the members of the chatzer did not make an eruv with the mavuos, meaning with neither of the mavuos. Oseres al shneihem. Then it asks for all the bnei hamavuos, because the chatzer has drisas haregel in each of the mavuos. The bnei chatzer typically walk through each of those mavuos, and therefore the bnei chatzer are considered residents of each mavui. So I don't care that the members of the mavui made their own eruvin; they didn't include everybody. They didn't include the members of this chatzer, and therefore this chatzer asks on all the residents of both mavuos. But haisa be'echad regilo be'echad eino regilo. So far we've been discussing a case where a chatzer opens up into two mavuos, and sometimes they can use that one, sometimes they use that one, meaning it's totally even. But let's say there was one mavui that they use all the time, and the other one is only in case of emergency. The other one, they very rarely use the second mavui. So zesha regila bo aser. Then the bnei achatzer are only considered residents of the mavui that they use all the time, and therefore they need to be included in the eruv of that mavui, and that mavui cannot have an eruv without these bnei achatzer. But the mavui that they don't use all the time can make their own eruv, not include the bnei chatzer, and the bnei chatzer are not going to be a problem for them because they are not real residents of that mavui. Haraya, they never use that mavui, even though physically there's a doorway that opens up into them from the chatzer, but they never use that mavui, and therefore they're not going to pose a problem for the bnei mavui. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Erva im She'ena Regila Bo. Let's say they only made an Eruv, the Bnei HaChatzer only made an Eruv with the Mavoi that they don't use, not with the Mavoi that they do use. So Huta Regila Liatzmo. Then the Mavoi that they do use, can they make their own independent Eruv? Because by making an Eruv together with the Mavoi She'ena Regila, the Bnei HaChatzer are declaring that's where we belong, that's where we are residents. And therefore they're removing themselves from the Mavoi that they are Regil Bo, from the mavui that they use all the time. And now the mavui that they use all the time is severed from the bnei chatzer, and they are an independent entity. They can make their own eruv, and it's perfectly fine. They don't have to worry about these bnei chatzer. Vi amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna amar Shmuel, and Rabba Bar Rav Huna also said in the name of Shmuel this time that im eruv ragil la'atzmo v'zesha eina regila bo lo erev. Let's say one of these mavuos made an eruv, the one that the bnei chatzer use made their own Eruv. The one that the Bnei HaChatzer don't use did not make their own Eruv. The Atzma Le'erva, and the Bnei HaChatzer did not try to make an Eruv with either one of the Mavuos. So now let's think about how this would work out. If we were to declare the Bnei HaChatzer to be members of the Mavui that they're Ragil Bo, the Mavui that they use all the time, it would ruin everything. It would mean that the Eruv that Mavui made is invalid because it didn't include the Bnei HaChatzer. The other Mavui didn't make an Eruv anyway, so they're not carrying anywhere anyhow. So nobody's allowed to carry anywhere. But if somehow we can say that the Bnei HaChatzer for this Shabbos belong to the Mavui She'ena Ragil, the Mavui that they don't use all the time, oh, okay, so then they're not allowed to carry because nobody made an Eruv there anyway, and so with the Bnei Chatzer, without the Bnei, they just didn't make an Eruv. And the other Mavi, the Mavi that the Ragil Bo made their own independent Eruv, so now the Bnei Mavi that the Ragil Bo should be allowed to carry. So in such a case where by just identifying with the Mavi She'ena Ragil Bo, you can save all the Bnei Mavi She'Ragil Bo and allow them to carry Dochenosa Eitzel She'ena Ragil Bo. We tell the Bnei Chatzer, you know what? You have now associated for this Shabbos with the mavui that you don't use all the time, so that we can allow the Bnei Amavoi Sharagilbo to carry. Kugon Zeh, Kofen Al Midas Dom. And this is just based on the principle of Kofen Al Midas Dom, meaning nobody gains anything by the Bnei Achatzer associating with the Mavoi Sharagilbo. The only thing that will happen from there is that nobody will be allowed to carry. But by associating them with the Mavoi Sheena Ragilbo, at least the other Mavoi will be allowed to carry. So you might as well let them have that. So that's considered Kofen Al Midas Dom, where it's Zenen of Zelo Chasser, so you might as well associate them with that Mavoi. Okay, ad kan the confusing part of the daf. Says the Gemara Vayta now. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, ha-makbid alei ruvo, enei ruvo eriv. If a person is makbid about the bread that that he left as part of the eriv and he doesn't want anyone else eating it, well then it's not a good eriv. The whole point of the eriv is mashmo, Eruv Shemo. It's called an Eruv, and that means that everyone is a shutaf together, everyone is mixed together and combines and joins in that bread, and no one is allowed to object to anyone else wanting to eat the bread. Rav Shakti used to always tell us that there was one guy in Washington Heights that every Shabbos, he would find out where the Eruv is, he would knock on the door, and he would ask for his matzah, and he would eat the matzah for Shalosh Shudas. So most communities have the same box of matzahs for a whole year, and then every year they put a new box of matzahs there for the Eruv. But they used to have a new box of matzah every Shabbos because a fellow would claim his rights to the matzah. Okay, so you can't be makbid. If you're makbid, says Shmuel, then ain't Eruv a Eruv, because it's Eruv Shemo. It's all called an Eruv. The Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz just points out that according to this, a person has to be very careful not to be ma'ariv bedavr chashuv, meaning you shouldn't use a very chashuv meichel for the Eruv, because then people are more likely to be makbid about it. And that's why we use a box of, we don't even use Hanshmura, we use a box of the machine matzahs that you get for free around Pesach time at whatever at the supermarket. So that's what Rabbeinu Peretz says. To dafka use something that's not a very chashuv of food because you want to minimize the chances that anyone's going to be makbid. Rabbi Chanina Amar Eruva Eruv. Rabbi Chanina says, nah, even if someone is makbid, the Eruv is still a valid Eruv. Ella Shinikra Me'anshe Vardina. But we call that person like a Vardina person, like a person from Vardina. Why? People from Vardina were known to be very stingy. So it must have been a Goyish town. I don't think we can speak Lashon Hara about an entire Jewish town by calling anyone. Right? So they call him Anche from Anche Vardina. Tos Rabbeinu Peretz raises the question that we're going to see later on in Daf Samaches, that if one of the Bnei HaEruv wants to eat his Eruv and you don't give it to him, if they refuse to give it to him, the Eruv is going to be batel. So how could Rabbi Chanina say that that it's not ma'akev if a fellow is makbid? It's a b'forash halacha that it is ma'akev, that if someone asks for it, you have to give it to him. You have to give him his chelek of the Eruv. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, makbid is different than not giving it to him. You can give and still be makbid. You'll give it to him because you know you have to, but you're upset about it. So if you don't give it with a full heart, that's what the machlokas is over here. If people are makbid about it, but certainly everyone agrees, says Rabbeinu Peretz, that if you actually don't give it to the person, then for sure the Eruv is invalid. So that's one halacha that Shmuel said based on the word Eruv. Eruv means combination, joint, mixed, all together, so therefore no one's allowed to be makbid about it. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, a second halacha relating to the name Eruv, and that is Hacholik es Eruvo Eino Eruv. If a person splits the Eruv into two different kelim, then the Eruv is not going to work. Meaning everyone joins together, gives them a little bit of bread to join the Eruv, and then you put it in two separate kelim. So for the same reason, Eruv Shemo. Eruv means that it's all together, that it's all combined. So if you split it up in two separate kelim, then it's not a valid Eruv. So it says more, wait a second. Keman, kebe shamai. That seems to be a reflection of the Shita be shamai. We already saw. Detanya, chamisha shegavu as Eruvan. If you have five people that collect their Eruv, that each one gives a little bit of bread for the Eruv Chatzeros, unasanu b'shnei kelim, and you put it in the same house, but in two different kelim, Beishamai remains the Eruv, Beisilom remains the Eruv. Beishamai is the one that has a problem with that. But Beisilom says it's perfectly fine. So now Shmuel, who's saying that an Eruv that's split among two different kelim doesn't work, is following Shitas Beishamai. How could that be? The klal is a well-known klal, Beishamai Beisilom, halachas ke Beisilom. So it says, no, I feel the table Beisilom. Even Shmuel would even be assuming like the Beis Hillel. Ad kal no karm Beis Hillel hasam el demalion lemanav ayater. Beis Hillel only says that if you put your aver in two separate kelim, it's okay when one kli is full and therefore there is overflow and you don't have a large enough kli to hold the entire aver. So okay, so you put it in another kli. It's not an indication that you're trying to split things up. Aval heichad the palgi miflag lo. But if you have everything in one kli and then you decide to split it up into two separate kelim, so that's making a clear division. So that's that goes against the very notion of Eruv. That even Beis Hillel would agree is going to be problematic. So frak the Gemara v'tarti lamali. Why does Shmuel have to tell me both of these dinim? Both the din of a person who's makbid al Eruvo, that the Eruv is invalid, and that hacholik es Eruvo, that if you split into two different kelim, it's invalid. L'chora, they're both based on the same idea, that Eruv means complete mixture, combination of all the participants, and therefore anything that shows that you're not really combining is going to be problematic. So says Gemara, it's unclear to me the shakla v'tari over here, because it seems like an obvious distinction between the two cases. They don't seem to be exactly the same. Yes, they're both based on the same general principle of Eruv, but one of them is about attitude, and the other one is about the physical Eruv, and the Gemara's answer is like exactly that. So it seems like it's hard to understand what the Havamin is, and what they didn't understand originally, and what became clear. But the Gemara answers, Strichi, we need both halachas of Shmuel. The Ashmin and Hasam, if he only would have told me the case about Makbid al Eruvo, Mishum Dekapid, because in that case, the guy is Makbid about it. Aval Hacha, Emelo, but in the case where they put the Eruv in two different Kalim, I would think that doesn't matter because no one's being makbid against the other guy. V'yashmin hachin, if it only would have told me about the case of the Erev being put in two separate Kalim, Mishum de Palgim Iflag, that's because physically the Erev is being split. Aval hasam emelo, but in the case where they're makbid, the Erev is physically in one location, nothing's happening to the Erev, so therefore I would think that that's perfectly fine. Tzricha, that's why Shmuel needs to tell me the din in both situations. Now, the Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid that the first din that Shmuel says, Amakbid al Eruvo, Ene Eruvo, Eruv, we actually don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin, says the Rashba in the name of the Ravid, like Rabbi Chanina, who disagrees and says that the Eruv is going to be kosher. Why? Because Rabbi Chanina is more Mekel, and Halachak Divrei Mekel be Eruv. So if you have Machlok as Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina is the one that's willing to say that the Eruv is good, so Halachak Divrei Mekel be Eruv, plus Rabbi Chanina. It's saying Allah Ketam Makam Rav. Rabbi Chanina was older than Shmuel, says the Ravid, so he's like he has a din like a Rebbe, and you would paskin like him. But the second din that Shmuel says of Acholik Eseruva Inaruva Eruv, notice there was no one that disagreed. We first thought that Shmuel was aligning with Beis Shammai, and then we said, it's not true. Even Beis Hillel would agree with what Shmuel is saying, and no Amora disagreed with that. So says the Rashba in the name of the Ravid, not only are these two dinim not the same, we actually split the psak. We don't paskin like Shmuel in the first din, and we do paskin like Shmuel in the second din. That's what the Meiri writes as well, that the reason for the psul by Cholik Eseruvo is also mitam makbid al Eruvo, that the tam of the chalukah is so that you don't, other people won't eat from him, that they won't eat his portion. But nevertheless, the Eruv is only pasul when you're Cholik, where you did a maisa to show that you're splitting it and that you're being makbid. But when you're just makbid in your mind, but you didn't do any maisa to really split it, says the Meiri, that's not as strong, and therefore the Erev is still going to be valid. That is the Rashba in the name of the Ravid and the Meiri. However, the Rash paskins like Shmuel in both cases, by Makbid as well, because the Gemara is going to say later on, and Daf Samaches, that if one of the Bnei Chatzar wants to eat the Erev and you don't allow him to, so the Erev is invalid. So the Rash sees that as the same thing as Shmuel's statement. So we already pointed out that Rabbeinu Peretz said, no, they're not the same. That even Rabbi Chanina would agree to, that if you actually won't give the guy what to eat, then from the Eruv, then everyone agrees it's no good. Our discussion is if you'll give it to him, but with a krecht, you'll give it to him with some attitude. That's the discussion in our Gemara. So that seems to be Machlokas Rishonim, whether our Machlokas over here is the same as that sugya about refusing to give the guy his Eruv. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda, bevei matzarta debei Rabbi Zakkai. They happen to have been in the olive press of Rabbi Zakkai, and they were we're talking and learning, the Gemara often will tell you where Chachamim were when they were talking about some matter of learning, and the Achronim point out they do that to let you know that they were always talking and learning. That they were waiting in line in the supermarket, they were talking and learning. They were at the olive press, they were talking and learning. That their minds were always occupied in Talmud Torah. So Miyomer Shmuel Cholik Eseruvo Eino Eruv. The Shmuel hold that someone who splits his Eruv in two separate kelim, that's an invalid Eruv. Vamer Shmuel Bayit Shemenichin Bo Eruv Eino Tzarich Litein Esapas. That the house where the Eruv is actually housed doesn't have to contribute any food to the Eruv. So my timer, why is it that they don't have to contribute any food? La Mishum Damer Tchim the Manach Besala Command the Manach Chachadami. Isn't it because they have their own food in the house, so that counts as part of the Eruv? Why do they have to put it in the same box as the Eruv? The rest of the food in their pantry counts as part of the Eruv. Oh, so don't you see from there that all the Eruv food doesn't have to be in the same box, it doesn't have to be in the same kli, because the house that's housing the Eruv never contributed their food to that kli, because their food in the pantry counts. Says, well, no, Hachanami, given the Manach, so Hachanami, over here also, given the Manach Masala command, the Manach Hachadami. So over here also, if you split the Eruv into two different baskets, why can't we just say that it's all viewed as one, just like in a house where they keep the Eruv? So Amaleis, Rav Yehuda said back to Rabbi Abba, no, Hasam, Aval Pishayin, Pass. When you keep the Eruv in one house, that house doesn't have to contribute bread, even if it doesn't have any bread. It's not about, the Svara is not that it has bread in the pantry, and therefore that counts as part of the Eruv. No, they simply don't need to contribute any bread. My time, but the Kulu Achadairi, because the whole mechanism of an Eruv is it makes everyone share a property, as this house now belongs to all of the Bnei HaChatzer. Well, the people who actually live in that house don't need to contribute bread to make it their house. It already is their house. Everybody else needs to contribute bread in order to make themselves residents of that house. So that's why it has nothing to do with splitting an Erev among separate Kalim. Splitting an Erev among separate Kalim may still be problematic. So that leads us into a discussion of the mechanism of an Erev, right? We just assumed in this conversation that it's all about Diurim, that it's all about everyone becoming a resident of the place where the Erev is kept, and therefore they're all residents together. They all share a single residence, and that's why they're allowed to carry throughout the chatzer and into each other's houses, because it's all one. It's all for one, one for all. But is that really true, that that's how an Eruv works? Samar Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyin. Shmuel holds that the way an Eruv works is that it's a Kinyin, that it's mitzaref all of the Rishuyos within the chatzer to a single Rishus by a Kinyin. By each person giving bread, the Balabayis is Makna, the place where the Eruv is, a chelek of the house where the Eruv is being kept, to the other residents of the chatzer. So now they are all shutfim in that bayis and in the chatzer that surrounds it. And that's why they're allowed to be metaltal from the bottom to the chatzer, because they've now all joined in a single rishus. Vim Tomar, but wait a second, if it's just about making a kinyan, mipnei ma'in konin bima'a. Normally, the way you'd make a kinyan, if it was just transactional over here, you would use money. Why are we using bread to make a kinyan? That's an odd way to make a kinyan. Mnei she'enu metzuya bravi shabbasos. Because when are they making an Erev? It's like last thing, right before Shabbos. You're running out right before Shabbos. Ah, did we make an Erev quick? Let's get an Erev together. No one's got their wallet on them. No one has any money on them. But what does everyone have? Everyone's got food, because we're all ready for Shabbos. So that's why we use food for the Eruv, just because it's most practical. It's like the Poskim discuss why it is that we use our fingernails. The Gemara says that when by Bori Morei Eish, you should be able to see the Tzura on the Matbeya. So why don't we look at a Matbeya and see the Tzura on the Matbeya? Why do we have to look at our fingertips and see if the light is enough to see the difference between our fingertips and fingernails? Because at Avdala, who's got a Matbeya? But we all have our fingernails on us all the time, so you're always that's always accessible. But a Matbeya is not going to be accessible. So we're also Enochinami. They could have used money, but they chose not to do Erev with money, because it's highly impractical. It's much more likely that they're going to have food available. So says Mar, okay, but then Hechad Erev Miulikni. But let's say they did use money, then it should be a valid Erev. And we never heard of such a thing, that an Erev with money is a valid Erev. So Gzeira Shamiyamru Ma'i Iker, Vizim Lo Shchiach Ma'av, Lo Asi Leruvi Bepas, Lo Asi Leruvi Lekalkule. Now, the reason why we don't allow an Erev with money is because if people were to start doing an Erev with money, everyone's going to assume that that's what you must do, because it makes sense. If it's a kinyan, it makes sense that money should be the ikker. And then when you have cases where people can't find any money or don't have any money on them, they're not going to do an Erev, and the whole institution of Erevin is going to become destroyed. And Tishtakach Toras Erev Yisrael, no one's ever going to make an Erev anymore, and it's going to be a real problem. So therefore, we made it a takana that not only can you use pas, but you must use pas. You must use food and not money. So that's all one sheet, what the mechanism is. That the mechanism is one of kinyan. Rabba Amar, Eruv Mishum Dira. Rabba says, no, the Eruv works as a Dira. By everyone giving bread to one of the houses in the Chatzar, everyone's considered to be residents of that Chatzar. Because normally you live where you have your food. So you're Mevatel, your Dira in the Chatzar, to this Dira. So everyone is considered to be living in one Rishos. But not that you're making a Kinyan in the Bayis. It's like it's a demonstration that that's my house. Because look, that's where my food is. But not that there's any actual formal Kinyan. So my benayah, what's nafkamina, whether it works midin kinyan or it works just as a demonstration that that's my house? Three nafkaminas. One nafkamina is ikar benayu, kli. The eruv has to be, if the eruv can be done, al yidei a kli. If you hold eruv mishum kinyan, so you could do a kinyan sudar. You don't have to do a kinyan with bread. Okay, we don't want to do it with money because people aren't going to have money. Everyone always says kalim around before Shabbos. Take a fork and make a kinyan. You could do a kinyan sudar with anything. A handkerchief, make a kinyan sudar. So that would work. But if it's about, I always live in the place where my food is, and therefore it's declaring residence. Well, you can't declare residence with a handkerchief. I don't always live in the place where my handkerchief is, in the place where my napkin is. I live within the place where my food is. That's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, pachs mishav pruta. If eruv is mishum kinyan, you can't make a kinyan on with bread that's worth less than a pruta. But if eruv is mishum dira, then as long as it's mazon shtei sudos, then it's good enough. Can you imagine a chitimtzu or mazon shtei sudos is pachs mishav pruta? I guess if there's a lot of food, there's a lot of excess food somewhere and they can't even get rid of it, so you can't even give it away sometimes if they have too much excess food, right? So then you could have mazon shtei sudos that could be pachos mishava pruta, and then the like a day old sushi in the supermarkets, right? What do you do with the day old sushi? Give it to the yeshivas or something, so they'll eat anything. So it's pachos mishava pruta, but it's mazon shtei sudos, and the third chiluk between them, the third nafkamina is katan, is putting the eruv by a katan. That if you hold the eruv is mishum kinyan, so there's not the shlichus to make a katan, a shliach to make the eruv doesn't work because he's not a bar kinyan. But if you hold this mishum dira, as long as the food ends up in that house, so then you've declared residence in that house. It's not a matter of shlichus of him doing any halachic mechanism. It's just a matter of getting the food into the house, and therefore it would not be a problem. So Abayi l'Rabbis, Abayi challenges Rabbi. He says lidi dach kasha ulishmuel kasha. He says, I got a problem with your shita and with Shmuel's shita. Hatanya, because we have a brisa that tells us, chamisha shegavu asei ruvan. If you have five people that live in the same chatzer, and they collect bread from each of them, and they put it in one of their houses to make an eruv, and now they want to all join together with another chatzer to join chatzeros with another chatzer, so that they can carry from one chatzer to the other, so they have to take the eruv that they made among themselves and put it in that other chatzer. Shema lichin asei ruvan l'mokam acher. When they are joined with the other chatzer, echad malich l'kulan. You could have just one person go and bring the food on behalf of all of them. How does that work, though, for all of them? It's only that guy that's bringing the eruv that's making the kinyan, if y'all there works mishum kinyan. And hu niyu dekadayer v'sulo? It's only that guy that's bringing the food that's declaring his dira in that other chatzer, and nobody else. How does that work? Somebody loved the kasha, the shmuel kasha. That is not a strong kasha, neither on my shita nor on Shmuel shita. Shlichus to kulu ka'avid. What do you mean? The one guy that's bringing the eruv to the other chatzer, to chatzer number two, is a representative of the entirety of chatzer number one. You know, all the people in chatzer number one appoint him as their shaliach. So it's even if they didn't actually appoint him as a shaliach, it's zachen l'adam shalabavanav. They're certainly more than happy to have more freedom and to be able to carry not only within their chatzer but in a neighboring chatzer as well. Amarav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, going all the way back to the case of the three chatzeros that open up into each other and into the Rishus Arabim. So the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that the middle chatzer is allowed to use the outer chatzeros and the outer ones the inner chatzer. It's only the two outer chatzeros that are not allowed to join with each other. Meaning, we're paskening like the more makil of the two tanoim. The chacham were more machmir. We had a machlok samaroim, exactly the details, but we're assuming like the more makil version of Rabbi Shimon. Shimon, which allows the middle chatzar to use the outer ones, the outer ones to use the inner one, just not the outer ones to use each other. An interesting ha'ara from Ri Halperin in the back of the Gemara, he says, you know, we don't find in all of Shas, something I never would have noticed, a memra of Rabba in the name of Rabbi Chama Bar Guria. It doesn't happen in all of Shas that Rabba says anything in the name of Rabbi Chama Bar Guria. He says, maybe instead of Rabba, it should be Ravin Bar Huna, because we find a lot of times that Ravin Bar Huna says something in the name of Rabbi Chama. How did Ravin Bar Huna turn into Rabba? Oh, that's easy. Ravin Bar Huna, Reish Beis Hey. So someone just took out the Shmijik and there it was, and it was Rabba. So that's probably a typo that snuck in somewhere along the way. Okay, new Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is going to again tell us three different halachas. Halacha number one in the Mishnah: Mi Shabbat Bederach, a person is traveling on the road v'chashkalo and Shabbos is coming. Vayimakir Ilan Ogader. He's not yet within 2,000 amos of his house, but he sees a tree that's less than 2,000 amos away from where he is right now, and that's also less than 2,000 amos away from his house. So all he needs to do is be kona shvisa by that tree, and then he'll be able to go home. Problem is, he can't get to that tree before Shabbos starts. What does he do? Amar shvisasi tachtav. My shvisa should be under that tree. Lo amar klum. That is not a defined enough makom. A tree can cover a large area. He has to define a dalet amos where he's kona shvisa. A tree can cover 100 amos. So that's not enough to be kona shvisa. But if he says shvisasi bi ikaro, I want to be kona shvisa right by the trunk of the tree. So then he really identified a specific location, even though he's not there. Mahalich mi makom raglav ad ikaro al paim ama. He can go up until 2,000 amos to the base of that tree. Umei ikaro ad base al paim ama. And then from the base of that tree to his house, as long as it's within 2,000 amos. Nimtza mahalich mishachashecha arba asalaf mama. So now he's now enabled himself to walk up to 4,000 amos from when it got dark. Im eino makir. If he doesn't see a tree or any other landmark that's within 2,000 amos of his house to be kona shvisa, osheinu baki ba'alach, or maybe he does, but he doesn't know that he's able to do this. He doesn't know the trick that he just has to declare shvisa in that location. Vamar shvisasi b'makomi, and instead he says, my shvisa is going to be right here, so zachal ha'makomo. So that's where he has shvisa, and therefore alpayim amos l'kol ruach. His makom grants him 2,000 amos in every direction. Meaning, unlike a person who is sleeping, where maybe he only gets 4 amos, or a person who is taken outside of his tchum, this guy, he did declare shvisa, it's just where he is. So where he is 2,000 amos. And that leads us into halacha number 2. When he's got 2,000 amos, how do we measure 2,000 amos around him in every direction? So agulos, divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says 2,000 amos is a circle, so that it's exactly equidistant, 2,000 amos to all points. I mean, there's never a point, there's no point that he's allowed to go more than 2,000 amos. But, and that's most logical, that's what 2,000 amos means, that you can walk 2,000 amos, but no more than that. That we make it like a square, meaning you pick 2,000 amos in each direction, and then you draw a square around that circle. So on the corners, on the edges, he gets himself another 800 amos. So he's only allowed to go 2,000 amos. He's going due north, due south, due east, due west. But if he goes northeast, northwest, he's allowed to go 2,800 amos because we square out the circle. So he gets himself a little more space. And then third halacha, v'zui sha'amru ha'ani ma'ariv baraglav. We said, the Chum said that an ani could be ma'ariv baraglav. That if you can't bring food to the location of the Eruv, you could just go, you could just show up and say, okay, this is where I'm being kona shvisa. And that's exactly what we're talking about in our case in the Mishnah. The fellow is traveling, he doesn't have any food, he's not declaring shvisa anywhere else, so he declares shvisa right where he is. Good, that's the ani, ma'ariv baraglav. Aye, but this fellow might not be an ani. He's an ani right now because he's traveling and he doesn't have anything. He could have many millions of dollars somewhere else. But right now, where he is, he's an ani, and therefore he's a ma'ariv braglav. Amra meir anu ein lanu ela ani. That only an ani could be ma'ariv braglav. Everybody else, if you have access to food, then you need to make your eruv with food. Otherwise, you can only if you're an ani, you could be ma'ariv braglav. But Rabbi Yehuda omer echad ani ve'echad asher. That both an ani and an asher could be ma'ariv braglav. Aleph, Lo Amru Ma'arvin Bepas El Lahakal Al Asher Shal Yetzer V'Araglav. The only reason we ever require an Eruv Bepas is to make it more convenient. We don't require it, to make it more convenient for the fellow to be able to make an Eruv with Pas, because not everyone wants to go to make their own Eruv. Not everyone could show up. With Pas, you can make a Shliach. So that's what we do it to make it easier. And this is where our Daf Yomi coincidence comes in, because we have Machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, Ani Ma'ariv Braglav, where a Meir says that it's only the Ani, and Rabbi Yehuda says it could be anybody, even an Ashir. And the Chum only say Ma'ariv Pas to make it easier on a person. So there's a tshuva in Binyan Tzion HaChadashos, Simon Nun Gimel, where someone asked the Binyan Tzion, how can you make an Erev Tchumen on Sukkis and on Yom Kippur? How is it ever possible to make an Erev Tchumen on Sukkis and Yom Kippur? If the halacha is you need to be Ma'ariv Bepas, then l'chora, it's Eif Shal Ariv Ba. I mean, the whole idea, if you hold that it's only for an Ani, like Rabbi Meir, that it's only for an Ani to be Ma'ariv Braglav, and an Erev is really supposed to work with Pas, or you're going to send a Shliach, and even Rabbi Yehuda would say, it dafka only works with Pas. Why does Pas work? Because that's your Shvisa, that's what you can eat. Well, on Yom Kippur, you can't eat, and on Sukkot, you can't eat outside of the Sukkah. So, Ben HaShmashos, when you're supposed to be Kone Eruv, how could that possibly be your location? So, the Shoel has a whole shtickle Torah, but the Binyan Tzion responds, and he says, first of all, Sukkah is not a problem. Holchei Drachim are Patim in a Sukkah. So, you're going to say that he's not going to be able to eat there? If he was there, he'd be able to eat there, because he would be a Holich Derech. He would be traveling. So, Holchei Drachim are Patim from Sukkah. And as far as Yom Kippur, he says, since the reason you need Beis Su'udos in the place of your Eruv is because through that we know that you want to live in that location, and therefore in your house, even if you're not eating right now, we don't require you to eat the Eruv. We just say that that's how you show that where you live, a place where you have your food. So storing Beis Su'udos worth of food is good enough. It doesn't have to be that you have to eat the food, and therefore it would be a valid Eruv on Yom HaKippurim as well. And with that, I wish everyone a Gemar Ksimah Tov. Tomorrow night I will give a shiur online after Yom Kippur. I'm going to do one during the day also, but online I'll give after Yom Kippur as well at 9 o'clock. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll do a Zoom. So whoever can make it, it'd be nice to see you. Gemar Ksimah Tov. I have. I can't get the same one.